Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Welcome to our second segment here on Circles of Change. And, of course, our show being based on this whole idea of personal advancement as well as organizational advancement, so befitting I was able to snag and catch up with Dan Chabelle and his newest book, Promote Yourself. Hi, Dan. How are you this morning?
Great. How are you?
I couldn't be better. Let me give a brief introduction, then we'll dive right into your latest book. Dan is the managing partner of Millennial Branding, a company he founded. It's a Gen Y research and consulting firm. He's the author of the international best-selling book, Me 2.0, Four Steps to Building Your Future, which is now available in 13 languages. Dan's latest book, I have it here in front of me, is Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success. He's founder initially of a personal branding blog, a Forbes top website for your career, and ranked as a number one job blog by CareerBuilder.com. He's an often columnist in some noted publications, as well as featured on countless radio and television engagements. And Dan was named to the Inc. magazine 30 Under 30 list in 2010, the Forbes magazine 30 Under 30 list in 2012, and Business Week cites him truly as someone entrepreneurs should follow on Twitter. But I would say that as much as this is the 30 Under 30, and I'm sure you'll advance right to 40 Under 40, Dan, that really the topic today, I think, transcends any generation, and a lot of insights and reawakenings of that total picture of what it means to be successful in our careers. Dan, if I could start out with one question, though. I have often in my work encountered the fact that Gen Y folks don't even like to use the word career because it might intonate the stigma of being stuck in one place or scrambling up the corporate ladder, etc. Have you found that out? I mean, is there an alternative word we should be using these days?
No, I mean, I think what I've seen is that people are having multiple careers now.
Right, right. From
between the ages of 18 and 34, people have an average of 11 jobs. Millennials leave their first job after 2 years, which is much different than older generations. So the silent generation, they stay at their company for 10 years or more. And so they've redefined what it means to have a career, and older generations are following suit. They'll come home from a full-time job if, you know, they're lucky enough to have one, and they'll work on passion projects, freelance projects, to offset the fact that they might not be doing meaningful work or something that they're excited about in their full-time position. A lot of them are starting businesses. Almost half want to start a business in the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. Many, of course, don't execute on those ideas, though, but the intention is there, the intention to, you know, have workplace flexibility, take their career in their own hands, and be their own boss.
Well, I think also, though, while you say they might not take action on it, meaning in terms of actually stepping out and starting their own business, that those type of initiatives to fuel yourself absolutely double back and serve what you're doing now in your given company or somewhere in the future, right? I mean, who would have thought that someone volunteering full-time or part-time in the evening on weekends to help, you know, clean up after Hurricane Katrina could later on lead them to a recognition that they really would rather be in the nonprofit world? So it kind of all builds on itself.
And I think that is just, that's so important. I mean, when people ask, oh, how do you find your passion? How do you know what you want to do in life? The best way to do that is to do as much as you possibly can. I had 8 internships before I graduated college. I had my own small business. I worked 3.5 years in a Fortune 200 company. I just moved in and out. I did things outside of work. I did volunteer opportunities. I created a blog. I created a magazine. I did so many different things because then I recognized what do I like the most, what don't I like, mm-hmm. and then I can kind of really shape the kind of career that will make me most happy, plus allow me to contribute the most value.
And, you know, I don't think you're saying, by the way, in your new book for our listeners, again, it's Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success, that necessarily eschew the opportunity to stay in the same company or the same industry or same type of career for 30, 40 years. You're not saying that at all. But what you are saying is there's ways to constantly stay contemporary and current. And in some ways, you're saying it's not an option. that we have to continue to fuel ourselves from a variety of angles.
It's the biggest obstacle of this century is how do I stay relevant? That's the question everyone's asking. Mm-hmm. You know, when technology is changing so rapidly, I always tell people when I was trying to stand out back when I was in college, I would have a CD portfolio of all my work, mm-hmm. you know, all this evidence that I can do what I could have been hired to do. And now to even say the word CD dates me.
Right.
I just turned 30. And so in my opinion, I think technology is changing so fast. You have to see, you know, stay up to speed on what's going on with technology. What skills are not just important today, but what are going to be important in the future, and really have your hand on the pulse. Because if you're not constantly reading every single day and even getting your ideas out there, then you become irrelevant and someone else can take your place, because it's the global talent pool. A talent pool happens online. It happens across, you know, geographies. And you can be replaced pretty easily. And, you know, careers are uncertain now, you know.
Well, but back to that other word.
There's no clear path to success anymore, so you have to create your own.
Well, and in fact, that's usually the advice I give people, too, when they say, well, Zara, you always benefited from having developed and cultivated a strong network of mentors. And I said, you're absolutely right, but also realize that I've had to let go of mentors along the way, too, because they may not have served me well, because the path that worked for them, particularly how the world's changing, to your point, won't ever reappear the same. I mean, to take, you know, first you're a design engineer, then you're a development engineer, then you do the, it's a whole upside down, backward, sideways. And oh, by the way, taking a 2-year sabbatical to go donate your time to a nonprofit may be the fastest path to fuel you from the inside out as opposed to the outside in.
Absolutely. And we also have to think of things. There's no 9-to-5 work day anymore. Mm-hmm. This is happening 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, once you come home from work, you're not off the hook. 80% of people answer business email outside of office hours. And you have a real opportunity to really shape your, you know, online persona and really build upon your career outside of work by doing volunteer opportunities, by joining associations, you know, by starting a blog and getting your ideas out there. There's so many things you can do outside of work that can help you position yourself for that next great opportunity and build a network as a foundation that will support your career going forward.
Well, Dan, I would certainly say this advice applies to people that are early in their career, as well as anyone who might be thinking about an encore career, particularly if you don't know what it is yet, that the best way is to go write it, blog it, talk it out, experiment with it, so you can almost let your subconscious lead you forward as well. Have you found that to be the case as you coach people?
I mean, what I see is people, you know, they figure, they find a new opportunity, they come up with a new idea, and a percentage of those type of people will execute on it. They'll start kind of experimenting and seeing what's possible, you know, whether they have to get funding or whether they don't need that, you know, it depends on the position. But a lot of people are starting to go for it because 80% of people are not satisfied with their jobs and are not engaged. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for other means, other outlets to express, you know, their desires and what they're really passionate about, and that's something that I'm seeing year over year, you know, especially as the economy is going into turmoil, not rebounding next year. People are thinking about other alternatives, you know, such as there's going to be more freelancers than full-time workers by 2020. You know, people want to have more control over their careers, and they don't trust that corporate environment that mm-hmm. where there's just so much uncertainty. I call this career diversification. You know, if all you have is that full-time job and you get laid off, you're in big trouble. But you know, if you have that full-time job and have other things going on the side, if you get laid off, you have other things to back you up and support yourself financially. And I try and tell this to my generation, because the problem is, you know, over 20 million of them are graduating and living with their parents. Mm-hmm. So, you know, their careers are being delayed, and they're not hitting an average salary of $44,000 till the age of 28 now. So I always say career diversification is the path to success in the new workplace or the new economy.
Yeah, that's right. And I would say also that Gen Ys actually are very well sculpted to do that, because they typically have such a diverse set of interests regardless. So to think that only one would be able to capture 80% of what you feel you need to bring to the world, it might not be realistic. We're speaking with Dan Schauble, and his latest book is called Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success. His first book was Me 2.0. Dan, just a bit on the process of writing this book versus your first. Anything different on this particular journey?
Absolutely. I mean, first journey rejected by 70 out of 70 agents.
Yeah, well.
And two publishers. You know, I got it without the agent, with Kaplan Publishing. Second book, over 3 years, fired two agents, hired four consultants, three book proposals, barely got the deal. Mm-hmm. Started off as a paperback, worked hard, they upgraded to a hardcover, and then I created a marketing campaign since last December, became a New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestseller before 30, and the writing process was, I challenged myself this time.
Sure.
I got American Express to sponsor research for it exclusively. I got Ernst & Young to sponsor the book launch, and it took about 8 months to write it. So with that research, not including the research and not including, I spoke to 115 people on the phone doing interviews with executives, managers, and millennials to get the complete scope. So I'd have the quantitative and qualitative analysis show people what the workplace is and how to go about standing out in the workplace, you could be more successful.
In fact, that's what I would absolutely compliment you about your book, is that, you know, we jokingly say in my world of manufacturing that in God we trust, but all others must bring data. And so it's very, very nice that your book includes some of that hard-hitting information, both the quantitative and the qualitative. I particularly, the one chapter you talked about what managers are looking for in terms of people to promote, and in this case, this we are really talking about the literal version, promoting people. But what strikes you is the difference between what managers think they're looking for to promote versus employees. Could you talk about that? Because that must have really been some really nice ahas you revealed.
I mean, the most important thing from the managers, you always have to look from the manager's perspective, because they held the keys to how far you can get up in that company. So they're looking for soft skills over hard skills. They're looking for, you know, someone who can prioritize work, who has a positive attitude and teamwork skills. The thing is, with millennials and workers in general, you're not thinking about these soft skills on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about, oh, I just got to get this job done. But it's really the soft skills that are going to make you become that manager and get ahead in your career. And the problem is that students, young professionals, they lack soft skills because they rely too much on technology. They're so busy looking down at their iPads and iPods and iPhones and Androids that they're not looking at people and building those one-on-one relationships, which is really all that matters in the world, whether it's, you know, in your personal or professional life.
What we often say is that at the end of the day, everything happens within 3 feet, the real important decision. So that means, you know, you're not going to hopefully not propose to your spouse or accept an engagement through a text message, right? Or that you're not going to really strike an interesting deal, whether that be for a company or a new job, by totally not having eye contact and pressing the flesh in that firm handshake.
Absolutely.
Dan, the reaction to the book so far, what's been coming across the line to you?
Okay, so what ends up happening is people frown at the book because of the title. They think, oh, promote yourself, it's all about self-promotion. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Right.
And then they realize what the real message is in the book is promote yourself is all about personal accountability, mm-hmm. taking charge of your life and making things happen and not relying on anyone or anything to do so. You know, so many people think that things are just going to come to them and things are magically going to happen. You know, for me, it's always about, you know, work ethic. I've been working since I was 13, first internship in high school, 7 more in college, 3.5 years in corporate America with 3 different positions, you know, 2 books, blogs, magazines, everything, because if you don't make it happen, no one else will. And so the main message that I like to say is, why leave your career to chance? Promote yourself. That's like the book tagline, in my opinion, because, you know, things are so unpredictable. The one thing that you can control is how you spend your time. And so I ask you listeners, how do you spend your time? Are you spending your time wisely?
I think the other piece of it, at the end of the day, if it's to be, it's up to me. And the days of someone in the job walking around with a secret black book that has everybody written into it as to what their next job would be, I mean, really? I mean, how often do we overlook the possibility that our manager may not know what's on our mind or what we're actually gifted and passionate about? They're not going to go find it. You have to bring it forward in some way.
Exactly. If you don't speak up, if you don't tell people what the types of projects and the type of people you want to meet, then you're not going to be connected to those opportunities that can really advance you and position you to do something that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. That's very, very, very put. Dan, that whole prospect of taking charge of your career and mapping it out, you're still, though, cautioning people, I think, in your book, that there is a very fine line between the impressions of getting out there and wanting to be recognized for your work ethic, integrity, the kind of things you'd mentioned, and that self-promotion. I mean, how many of us see LinkedIn profiles or Facebook or white papers that are just way over the top? So some advice you might lend to people to know when you might be getting the crossing the line, or how do you prevent from going across it?
Thing I learned early on was you support other people. You make them look good. You support mm-hmm. your team. You make your manager's job easier. Again, online, it's very easy to explain this. You know, you retweet other people. You promote their work. And then people will want to promote you and talk positively of you, and that will build your brand. That will build your visibility, and more people will want to work with you, and you'll be more successful that way. So instead of focusing on yourself, focus on how you can support other people, not just any random person, but the people who you know could potentially support you back or help you in some fashion.
That's right. We're speaking with Dan Schaubel. His company is Millennial Branding as well. He's written two books. The one we're talking about today is Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success. So, Dan, you've been in this space of tracking, researching, watching the Gen Y workers and, of course, the other categories that we have out there. There's been a lot of research out here recently, though, that's taking to task some of the broad brush characterizations that have been given to Gen Y. And since you've been tracking it for so many years, I'm wondering how your thinking has been reshaped as you've gotten more wise, perhaps, to data and maybe not fallen prey sometimes like we do to conventional wisdom or anecdotes. Have you changed your own thought about any of those characterizations of Generation Y?
Yeah, so in the study that we did, we found that managers have a negative perception of millennials. They think that they're lazy, entitled, not focused, mm-hmm. whereas millennials have a positive view of their managers. They think they're willing to mentor and wise and knowledgeable. And so, that's a huge difference right there. And mm-hmm. so I always tell millennials, you know what you're up against. You know these stereotypes. You hear them all the time. The cover of Time magazine was the me generation. This has been, hammed on you enough. Prove them wrong. Work harder. And then I tell managers, this is a two-way street, as you know. I tell managers, ease up, give them a chance, let them, beat these stereotypes and stop thinking about that and have a clear mind when you're working with them or hiring them. And so I think, millennials are going to have a huge positive impact on the workplace.
You bet.
And I think that, managers need to step back and really try and support them instead of point their finger at them.
Well, you have to recall some of the managers and certainly entry-level executives. Many of us actually, our children are millennials. And so part of this angst and perhaps severity in the stereotyping could be the managers themselves backward judging that, oh my gosh, I allowed this to happen in my own child. So that's where it gets really dicey.
I could see that happening.
You could see that happening. Particularly, of course, you comment on, I don't know if you call it specifically this in your book, but the concept that a lot of millennials have only gotten positive feedback reinforcement and the everybody gets a trophy syndrome as opposed to really letting...
I have trophies sitting at home still in my parents' house, and I don't think I deserved any of them. But it's true. Everyone does get a trophy, and I have evidence to show you on that. But, I think entitlement has really been broken down because of the economy.
Sure.
The unemployment rate for millennials is 16%, which is more than twice the national average. Once you add in the underemployed and those who have given up, you're at about 50%. So those who have jobs have friends who are begging to work at those companies. And so, 45% of millennials, feel that it's a privilege to have a job now.
So it kind of had a self-correcting factor. And the other piece of it, of course, is that some people, fret this idea of how do I possibly manage four generations in the workforce? And my response is, how lucky are we that we can tap on that variety of energy, insights, and, cross-mentoring in the process?
I think diversity in the workplace is a very important. I think, based on the research that you see from Gallup and other people, the more diversity you have, the more, creative ideas really you know, are shaped.
You
and
betcha.
So having diverse workplace by generation, by race and gender and whatnot is a good thing. I think that, you know, aside from generation, I think gender is going to be a bigger deal, you know, with Lean In, with Sheryl Sandberg. I just think that I think you'll see more women rise to the top. And I think that's going to be helpful. You know, it's about ideas, about harnessing them. I think millennials, you know, have a lot of great ideas. They should be doing more reverse mentoring where they help, you know, older generations with technology and older generations help them learn how to get ahead and who they need to know and whatnot.
You bet. That's great. Dan, I was going to ask you, you know, I mentioned in the introduction that your book, Me 2.0, has been translated into 13 languages, and I'm certain your current book is making its way around the globe, if not already test-driven before you even published it. So what's been the any differences we should be mindful of or awarenesses outside of the Western thinking around millennials, or is it pretty much the same around the world?
I haven't done much in a global sense, but I know that in Asia it's very similar to the United States.
Right, and of course,
in terms of how millennials behave and what they're looking for.
Right.
So that's in study for next year. I actually have a study coming out next week that I'm pretty excited about. But I've done 13 studies. And I'll do 6 a year starting next year.
Outstanding.
The next 5 years.
Yeah.
So where I'm going is the future of work. I think that's going to be a really exciting, you know, space, especially because millennials will become the future of work. So, you know, what does the future of work look like? How are millennials impacting it? And how will they manage themselves and the people around them in that new world? And to me, that's exciting.
Well, I mean, the other point of it, as much as we've always had the discussion about the baby boom generation driving significant change within organizations, it's going to be even more pointed when we see the volume of the Generation Y and the millennials impacting the workforce. Particularly, I think your statistics in 2025, what was that percentage again?
75% of the global workforce will be millennials by 2025.
Right, exactly.
And that's a huge shift.
It is. And your comment to millennials today is you better get ready. Right?
Yeah.
So this is the opportunity doors are going to fly wide open between now and then.
16% of the workforce, boomers, are going to be retiring in the next 5 years.
Right.
So that, I mean, there's going to be a lot of positions open. So a lot of people are like, oh, well, I can't get a job now. But if you work really hard, if you get the right skills, then when those jobs open, you can be right there and seize them.
Well, particularly those jobs that a significant number, that 16% are retiring, are leadership-related jobs. So that's the other message of your book, of course, which for our listeners, again, it's Promote Yourself, the New Rules for Career Success, that Dan lays out some real clear ways that people of any generation should be continuing to enhance their skill set, both hard and soft skills, to be prepared for that new future. Yeah, Dan.
Those are the biggest chapters in the book because,
yeah,
you know, gaining those skills can set you up for everything else. And, you know, some of the skills that are important now might not be important in a few years, and you have to just keep an eye on all that.
Well, it isn't just skills, just even the job classifications. We don't even have position descriptions for what's going to surface in the future, do we?
Absolutely. I think eventually no one's going to care about job titles are going to be thrown out. It'll be more flat hierarchies instead of vertical ones. So I think there's going to be a lot of shifts, and people are just not ready for them. And a lot of companies, especially the larger ones, operate like it's 1960, you know, with all these policies and procedures. And we're going to see a more open and transparent workplace. We're going to see, you know, the idea of going to an office with 2,000 people or 4,000 people, that's going to be non-existent. More people are going to be working from home. There's going to be more temp workers, freelance workers, and there's a huge shift.
Yeah,
and
that's exactly right.
There's nothing that's really going to stop those shifts from happening, especially with the advancements in technology, with teleconferencing and robots. And
already happened, you betcha. Dan, so your role in life, of course, this mission you're on is to help other people deal with change, if not and millennials. Millennials.
Yeah, so I focus on millennials, but with advice that supports everyone. That's really my goal. And by talking to managers and executives, helping them reshape their workplace, that supports millennials. And then helping millennials succeed in the workplace, that helps millennials. So at the end of the day, it helps millennials, but millennials are going to be a future, so they need the most help to prepare for that. And so, like, every book that I write is just kind of, I'm following them as they progress in their careers.
Very exciting. Yeah, very exciting, and you're growing with it in the process. In fact, that was my question, Dan. How do you think you've changed the most by helping other people change?
I just think that you know, by watching how things are going, I just have a clear perspective. I mean, I spent 7 days a week on this over 7 years. And so I just, and I was, you know, a worker, obviously, in a big company. And, you know, I just learned how to do all this stuff. And so, I mean, I make the case in the first book, Me 2.0, that everyone needs to be a marketer now.
Yeah,
you basically
exactly,
have
yeah.
to. Yep. If you don't have these marketing skills, you
That's
should be a marketing
Very
minor
good.
If you're an accounting major. And so
it's
marketing is fundamental and needs, and everyone is a marketer because everyone can, you know, use at least the online world in order
you
to...
You got it. Well, Dan, thank you very much. Dan Tobel, his book again is Promote Yourself, The New Rules for Career Success. Appreciate your contributing here on Circles of Change, and take care.
Thank you.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll-free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.